the normal temperature we keep things at. And so just know this isn't our norm. The air went out. It was working yesterday, but not today. So at least it's just this half of the building, not the whole building. But we've had a great week. Thank you for those that were a part of the worship night. What a tremendous time of just worship and beauty. We're so thankful that God came and showed up. And what a great day yesterday, and just so much fun and relaxing, and just a sweet time of fellowship, and a little envious of the cars. You know, some were for sale, and I figured, you know, I could go to the bank, come home with one, you know, and just see what happens. And I would probably have slept here last night. So anyway, but it's been a great week. Thank you for all of your service and your faithfulness. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. We'll read 1 through 8, but today we're going to be in 8. And kind of last week I told you that the rest of these have to do with everyone else. So how you affect everyone else. And interestingly enough, as I studied this, because today is about having a pure heart, what does it have to do with other people if it's about your heart? Well, I would just tell you that where my heart is how I treat people. And where my heart isn't is how I treat people. And where my heart is most fragile is where I treat people the worst. And so, church, I think the heart has so much to do with, because just let's be honest, when your heart's at peace, isn't it easier to be at peace with others? When your heart is filled with the Holy Spirit and it's just pouring out of you, isn't it easier to be kind and loving to others? I just think it's the truth. And so once you got that, if you would stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Listen, I'm pretty sure you should have this memorized by now, right? I'm helping you with the Bible quizzing. We'll do a sword drill next week, and so just have your Bibles with you. And I think I'll call on somebody to just call it out. You know what I mean? Seeing the crowds, and remember the picture here. Jesus is on the hill each week. Just want to kind of remind you of what's happening. He's on a hill. He's looking out. His disciples are right there. There's thousands following him. And so Jesus, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, which was a symbol of a teacher, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying all of these words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And then today's, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Key word, see God. And I don't know, I just feel like here we are, no air. Kind of smells funny, right? A little bit, that's okay. But there's something about this, see God. I hope today that you have a desire to see God. There is something to that. There is something to this scripture. There is something to Jesus standing there and saying, if your heart will look like my heart, you're going to see some things. God, today, God, if you could just come and send your spirit, if you could just come and just anoint this room with your power and your presence, we pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus. And today, we say as a congregation, we trust you. And God, today, we want and have a desire to see you. And so today, let us understand what Jesus meant when he said we would see you. So God, we love you. We trust you at this time, and we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, so you ready for some theology? Just say yes, okay? Don't talk too much today because the hot air, you know, you're full of it. I'm just kidding. I want you to talk. I'm full of a lot of hot air. Hey, there's some, you know, seats in the front here if you want to move up. The fans are working good, and so I'm feeling great. I'm going to let it come up my shirt a little bit and just cool off the armpits. But anyway, you're welcome to move up. Purity, and I want you to get this because here we're talking about a pure heart. Interestingly enough, we do a lot of things, right, to make things pure. What do we do to water, right? We purify it. We like it clean. If we just pick it up from the river or pick it up from like Mound State Park and all those places, you probably just don't want to pick it up and drink it, right? You want to get one of those $50 water bottles that you pour a little bit of water in and there's a filter and it filters it and you can drink it. And honestly, I've heard people still get sick from that. But I wouldn't suggest it, right? Church, here we're talking about purity, and it's an adjective in the nominative case. I don't know what all that means, but hey, this means both the blessed and the pure give content to the subject of the sentence, and the subject, if you remember, is the, which translates as H-O-I, which actually means the people that were living this out. And so here, the refers to the blessed ones that have a pure heart. Interestingly enough, Jesus was looking at people that had a heart and a desire. Remember, he spoke differently on this. We get this confused. We think it's typical. We think it's just like any other time that he spoke to people, but he turned around and saw people that had a desire to know him more. And so here, when we think about the subject, the people, it's translated as this one and that one, meaning this one has a pure heart. Congratulations. This one has a pure heart. This one has a desire. Can Jesus point to you today and say to you, this one has a heart that desires me? The blessed, congratulated, pure ones. The heart is the dative which serves as a direct object. Write that. Where's your notebooks? Are you all like, is it just in your head? I mean, come on now. When you read this again, you got to remember this, okay? The heart is the dative which serves as a direct object. The heart is receiving the state of purity. The heart is receiving the state of purity. See, that's key because your heart just doesn't get pure. And obviously, we're not talking about your physical heart. We're talking about your spiritual heart. We're talking about the core of who you are. And what we have to understand is that purity starts in the heart. When you have a heart that's off, you have a heart that is lacking connection with Jesus and his presence. The scripture tells us a couple of things, and most of you could finish these, but I'll say them anyway. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Scripture tells us that early on. And so think about it. I think it's so true. And honestly, I can think about my life in segments. For a segment, my heart was after, and then I shifted because God challenged me. And in this segment of my life, my heart was after. Why? Because in this segment, I treasured. And then in this segment, I treasured. And I've been thinking about it all week this week and just asking the Lord to really reveal to me. And he's really revealing to me that he wants this segment of my life to be a segment of my life where I really just treasure the things of God. Treasure the moments he's given me. Treasure the people that are around me, and do the best possible way to allow the Spirit of God to move in my life. So think about this statement. The place of purity is in the heart. Kind of look at it like a V, right? V is for victory. You want to say that? V is for victory. Isn't that exciting? Okay. A V, right? It comes in, hits the heart, goes out. So what you bring in that hits the heart goes out of the heart. And so this is just your typical, like you're going to say, Pastor, I've heard this a million times from every pastor. Good, you're going to hear it again. But that which you allow into your heart, you then produce from your heart. What are you allowing in your heart? You say, Pastor, you talk a lot about the heart. Well, a good holiness church talks predominantly about the heart. Not about the exterior, not about the actions, but about the heart. Because the heart is what produces the actions, the words, the movements, the moments. I want you to think about this. So I want to look at one Old Testament scripture, one you're going to know really well, and then one New Testament, just to kind of prove to you. You want to be proved to today? All right, just say yes, good. Or maybe say it in your head because you're hot. So it starts all the way in the beginning. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. And that comes out of Deuteronomy 4:29. Then you fast forward. Y'all remember Judas? Whew. Judas was the one that betrayed Jesus, was so close to him, was there in all the ministry, chose to betray him, betrayed him. And then if you remember, fast forward, the apostles were I don't like to say it in church, right? They were casting what? Lots, okay? That's not so good. We don't do that anymore, but we might give it a try. But anyway, they were casting lots, but interestingly enough, they said this. They prayed before they cast lots to replace Judas. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts. Think about this. You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these you have chosen. And what they said was, they didn't want a part in that. Imagine if around the world, when we go to elect the leaders in the church, the board members, those that are going to lead the church, that if we prayed, you know the heart, let the right hearts be in leadership. But church, I'll tell you, for thousands of years, many of us didn't pray, let the right hearts. We voted based on other things. But here, right from the foundation, right from the replacement of a wrong heart, the apostle said, Lord, you know the heart. Interestingly enough, it translates here as knower of hearts, meaning they were saying, hey, God, you're the knower of hearts. We kind of know hearts based off of actions and verbals and words, and yet somehow you're the knower of the heart. So let us just choose the knower's option. Church, he's a knower of your heart. You think you're getting by. Let's just be honest. This scripture is hard. I hope you didn't come today to fly by and go home. I hope today you take it and you hold on to it. Because church, you can be fooling everybody, but you're not fooling Jesus. You can be fooling us today. You can be fooling me. I'm not the best discerner of people. My wife's better than I am. She'll often predict things, and then weeks later, it comes true. I told you I saw it in her eyes. I'm like, how did you know? I told you to step in before because I could just tell, and I just don't know. He is the knower of hearts. He knows your heart. No matter how good you're blocking it, no matter how good you're allowing everybody else not to see it, he sees it. He not only sees it, but he knows it. And he has a desire to be in it, to change it, to adjust it, to grow it. Think about our hearts. And think about this. Are there those people, I've had them in my life, and in younger, there was an individual who just was so spiritual, everything turned into spiritual. So I would say something, and he would just turn it to the spiritual and say, well, what did? And I was, I don't know why I ask you. I know why I ask you, right? Because I know that he was like seeking the Lord's will, and he wouldn't give me his will. And then sometimes he would call me, because we didn't text back then very much. He would call me and say, I haven't seen you. And sometimes, you know what he would say? He would say, you've been avoiding me. He'd leave it on my voicemail because I'd never pick up. Because he just had a way of like seeing where I was in my heart, and he would address it. That's a good spiritual father. And he would say, I know you're not right because you're avoiding me in church. What's going on? And then I, in the early days of texting, would text back and say, what do you mean? And then he'd call me. I'd be like, dude, stop it. Just text me. We're starting this new trend, right? 20 years ago. And eventually I would face it and I would say, well, my heart's not right. That's why I was avoiding you. He just somehow knew where I was. Not where I was physically, but where I was spiritually. And when he looked at me, it felt like the eyes of God just glaring in. Maybe you have those people in your life, but our hearts, they do what? They think, they feel. Sometimes I wish our hearts didn't think, right? They dictate, they determine. They're the seat, they're the place. I say this a lot. They're the seed and the place that the Holy Spirit sits and dwells. Our hearts are a dwelling place for the presence of God. For many years after high school, I was kind of in this weird stage, and I couldn't afford to go away to school, so I was commuting plus working full-time. I've always only worked full-time since I was 17. Got out of the Army when I was in the Army on a Friday and started a new job on a Monday. That's just been my life. And so since 17, all I've done is work full-time and go to school and all that. And for a season, when I was going to school and driving an hour and a half away and driving an hour to work, I really didn't have a place to dwell. I mean, I had a place, but it didn't feel like home. You ever been in a season in your life where you had a place, but it just didn't feel like home? And so it didn't feel like a place where I dwelled, and so oftentimes I dwelled in my car. Now, if you look at my car now, you would think I still dwell in there, but that's called chillern, okay? And so anyway, they dwell in there, and do you get mad? every time I look behind me, no matter what, there's more stuff. There's bottles and there's wrappers and there's, even though I collect them, they still, and it's my wife too. So anyway, she uses my car for visitation and she leaves the packages in there and she says she doesn't. When you see her, say she does and she'll not know what you mean. But anyway, I used to just feel like that was my place. I made the payment. I technically owned it. I just found myself at times pulling over. In fact, there was a song that just came out from Kane about what happened at the dash of your car. And I can remember those moments pulling over. I can remember the accidents. I can remember sitting in a parking lot saying, I just don't know where to go. I don't have anywhere. I don't really. See, now that's not the case. I love being home. I love being in my dwelling place. But I want you to think about this for a second, because this is what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about having a place to dwell. And so you're his dwelling place. He's saying here, like, your heart, if it's pure, you're connected to me. But see, sometimes what we do is we make it so that the presence of Jesus that wants to come in has to go in a car to dwell somewhere else because there's nowhere at home for him to dwell. Scripture goes as far to say that at some point, the rocks are going to cry out if we won't let them cry out in our heart. See, the Lord was already setting up that, hey, I have a heart. You were created in the image of me. And so, church, if he created us in the image of him, then we're not like flawed. Our heart is, and I don't mean flawed in the way, don't go on. I mean like as in we weren't created differently. We were created in his image, which means he has a heart that feels and thinks and moves, and so do we. And he wants to come in and help that heart feel and move and desire and function. But see, here's the problem. We have to remember that the heart holds a place for the Lord, but when we deny the Lord that place, then we are instantly allowing unbelief to come in. And then we're instantly removing the presence of God from our being. And then immediately our flesh begins to speak. And the flesh has a great way of adjusting the heart's direction. And so today I would just say, is the heart being dictated by the flesh? Or is it being dictated by the presence of Jesus? See, the core message today is that God desires to dwell and have a seat in your heart. And if he has a seat in your heart, then things just tend to funnel through his heart. Many of us would say that, well, isn't he looking at my actions? My accomplishments, my talents, my education. No, see, I just have learned that he's looking so much deeper. He's so thankful that you use all those things for his glory. But again, I'm pretty sure over the years, in every church, there's been a lot of fooling, which is the actions, the accomplishments, the talents being used for the glory of God were not with the right heart. And you know what, let's say non-believers or unbelievers are really good at? Seeing hearts. Seeing authenticity. You know what's crazy is Jesus knew that. He set it up. And he set it up that like our story, he actually had a desire that our story would be his story. And that our hearts would be, and that our heart song would be his heart song. And that we would sing in one together. So, if it's not about accomplishments, talents, giftings, then what's it about? You're like, Pastor, you ask us every week to serve. I'm like, yes, that's the outpouring of the heart. I shouldn't probably even have to ask you to serve. You should just say, Pastor, where can I serve? I want to outpour what's inside of. We shouldn't have to ask you to give. It should be an outpouring of what's inside of. We shouldn't really have to beg any Christian to do anything. And that's what the Lord spoke to me this week. My wife shouldn't have to beg for me to like, hey, when she does this, you need to think about. It's convicting. Because then I say, well, it's not about that something, and the Lord taught me this week, it's about something in here isn't right. And that's why I react in that way. Purity. Purity comes. It's not about an action. It's not about any of that. It's about falling in love with Jesus. See, some of us here maybe haven't fallen in love with a human, which is okay. So we don't really understand what it means to fall in love with Jesus. And I think that's probably true for some of you. Some of you have fallen in love and you've seen the ups and downs of that, so it's hard to see how. But I guess my thought today would be, if you really just looked at the actions, I say this a lot, the red letters, the Jesus words, and watched the way he lived out his life, you would see that his heart had to be And so how do we do it? We must remember, and this is kind of what Jesus was saying here in all of this. And basically, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, if we were to just summarize it into one word, John Wesley would say this. It's the moving of self over here and the moving of Jesus from here, from the car out in the parking lot to the heart inside the... And if you'll just do that, all of these things will be true. And then you'll be the congratulated ones. You'll be the welcomed ones. You'll be the... See, Jesus is saying, if you'll just let your heart, then the unlimited resources of my kingdom are going to be yours. So your loneliness, it's going to be met by the unlimited resources that I have. Your hardships are going to be met by the unlimited resources. Your broken heart is going to be met by the resources because you've moved yourself, you've moved the flesh. See, Jesus is not just saying, come to the table. He is inviting you to possess what he has. See, actually here, Jesus was saying, you can possess what I have. How do you know when you don't possess what Jesus has? Well, think about your conversations, your thought life, the way you live, where your mind is set. Y'all like alien movies? Okay, are any of you fascinated by Area 51? No? I just want to go by there just to say I've been by there, you know, because who really knows what happens there? Unless you're like a secret agent here or something, like most of us would say, we kind of know what happens there, but they would say it's like the most top secret place in the United States and like we really don't know. Do any of you believe in aliens? Do any of you watch? Yes, there we go. Okay, who knows? You know, God could create. You're saying this pastor's crazy. Something else. I don't know. One day we'll know. But you like Independence Day? That's like the best alien movie there is. You know what I mean? It's like a classic. If you watch any others, they're second to Independence Day. And anyway, most of the time, aliens are what? We defeat them at the end of the movie, right? Just because it's a movie. But they're most of the time creepier, right? They're more powerful. They've got like a lot of intelligence. And so I think it's just for fun's sake. And it takes everything. And then the hero emerges in the movie. You know what I mean? The hero emerges. It was Will Smith in that one. Emerges and just all of a sudden, you know, just takes it over and everything rolls along. And we're able to take it off and move on. But here's the deal. We are technically... or we should be allowing ourselves to be invaded by the unlimited resources of Jesus, which are bigger, which are strange. They are like outside of our mind. They are more than what we probably think we can handle. It is like an invasion. It is like saying, wait, my flesh says, but Jesus says. It is like saying, I don't think I should, but Jesus is saying I should. It is like saying, okay, I'll let you come in and do some unknown things. Because church, I'm telling you, when you allow the Spirit of God to come in and you say okay to the unknown, you say okay to, you begin to allow the story that Jesus has defined and has developed and has created for you to be yours. The problem is, church, is that when we start expecting Jesus to come in, not like an alien invasion, and come in with the expectations that we have, the thoughts that we have, the theories that we have, we deplete his ability to fill our heart. Some of you in here today are depleting your ability to see his heart because you make church one thing, people should be one thing, his work should be one thing. But yet, honestly, nothing makes sense if you really look at it from the perspective of the people living that day. Nothing made sense that Jesus was doing. Why did Jesus look at these people and say there's something different about them? They had to be willing to look at Jesus and say, this doesn't make sense, but it makes a lot of sense. See, are you allowing yourselves to be invaded by the unlimited resources of Jesus? And that's the only way that your heart can be changed. The Hebrew author says this, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Popular, famous scripture, the main word pursues, it is in the imperative form which makes it a command. We end with the close, you know the hooker statement, right? They will see God. Church, I don't know. I feel like you might have the desire to see God. Now, I love this because in all of Scripture, these verses, if we'll live out, there's something that, and don't you like to receive? I mean, a lot of you are givers and you're so gracious, right? But sometimes it's nice for someone to just, and this scripture says, if you'll allow my heart to invade your heart, if you'll allow my heart to come in and allow the resources of God to just pour out on you, if you'll allow my heart to just, if you'll be okay with the unknown, if you'll be okay with the power that comes of the Holy Spirit and allow your heart to put the flesh aside, church, the flesh is strong. The flesh is destroying our society. The flesh is using what's in your pocket right now. Let's just be honest. What's in your pocket right now? It's like a $90 billion business that's going on in your pockets all around the world called pornography, and it's tearing the flesh up, and it's causing us not to see people correctly. It's causing our young people that have phones in their hands that you think that they're protected and all that mess. It's just not true. We have all these things on our, Janae has a little iPad that she does her schoolwork on. And the other day she was on and she was looking up bathing suits. And I said, I had it blocked so you can't look at that stuff. And I went to Ashley, we read the fine print and it said, except for stores. So she was on a store so she could see the bathing suits that she was looking at. Well, it wasn't just, she looked up one piece, but you know, it wasn't just one piece, right? Church, it's there. Fool yourselves and go out of here and act like it's not. It's there and it's easy. And you better read the fine print. And honestly, in my opinion, we got to stop giving our kids those things. But that's just my old-fashioned opinion. It's not a Bible verse. But I think if we pursue peace and we have a heart's desire to see God, we're going to start seeing things differently. We're going to start understanding ourselves differently, which is going to allow us to see other people differently with the eyes and heart of Jesus. And so I guess the question today, and if you translate this and if you just want to know, the Greek word is optanomai. I'm really not trying that one. Let's just say ophthalmologist, but translated as see, it has some kind of opti in it. So, and you know, ophthalmologist, you get it. Look at me, I did something good. You know, you can remember that. Translated to see has the idea behind it of gazing with eyes wide open at something remarkable. So he was saying to the people, you are going to gaze at something remarkable within your own selves. It makes no sense, right? Because most of us think if we do it, then it's remarkable. But actually, Jesus is saying, hey, here's some kind of alien invasion. If I'm allowed in your heart, you're not going to know what's going on, but you are going to gaze with pure hearts wide open. And then eyes that just see and possess. Because what's crazy, church, and this is the beautiful thing, it translates as possessing the presence of God. Meaning you here today can possess the presence of God working in your heart, in your life, in your family, in your friends, in your workplaces. And so God yields himself to us who have the desire to allow the heart of the Lord to enter our heart, to push away the stuff, and to begin to make his story our story. See, oftentimes we make it our story, we call it God's story, and yet we have it confused. But if we have a heart that is open to allowing God to speak this new story into us, that is defined by unlimited resources, by eyes that see beyond us, that isn't dictated by the flesh, and that is ready to gaze, translated as gaze with eyes wide open at the unexpected, then church, you're writing the story that Jesus wants you to write. And so, what's your heart's cry? What's your heart's cry? When you pray this week or think about last week, were your first words just crying out to God and saying, I want more? Were your words just, I am here, speak, O Lord? Were your words, search my heart? Were your words, if there's any way? I've been challenging each week to change your prayer life. Make it him first. Because what it does is it changes a lot of the prayer requests you have. I want to just, can we listen to a song? There are altars here, and I'm just being honest, there are people here that need to make some changes. Your first heart's cry is, I need, I want. Why isn't the church? When will pastor? Church, I'll be honest with you, like, I'm okay. I'm ready. I couldn't always say that in my life. But as I grow deeper with the Lord, I just feel more confident of the heart that he's given me because it's not mine. Because I know what mine looked like 20-some years ago in the car. And I know what it looks like today. And I hope in 20 years it doesn't look like it does today. And it's because I'm getting better and better at saying, Lord, what is your heart? So can I tell you something funny before we listen to this because it's not working? I'll just keep on talking. What's funny is many of you that work here and do things or serve during the week, right? We make a policy, don't we? We try to make a policy to try to like keep all this stuff like under wraps. And then this week we make a policy and then you look at me and say, well, you're not following it. I'm like, I know, I just can't in this moment because the Lord has just come over me and I can't help it. I can't do it. You just go and I'll just, because it's just something happens. And I just know that I know that we should just let it go. And since it is church, we don't answer the state of the government. We can just sometimes do what? Let the heart lead. In the midst of the frameworks which we need, sometimes we should just be saying, kick the framework out the door. Because the framework doesn't work here. Because then you know what we do? It's not just about my story, AFC story. It now becomes about the stories in which our hearts speak into. And so are we good with? Y'all are going to recognize this song.
I'm going to sing y'all my testimony tonight. Oh, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Yes.
Salvation,
sing it to him, yeah.
The purchase of God. Somebody help me now. Perfect submission. Now all is at rest.
Oh, at rest.
'Cause I knew my Savior.
Oh, I am happy.
Are you blessed?
I am blessed.
The Lord is love. And I'm watching Him reign. And I'm looking above. 'Cause I'm filled with His goodness. And I'm lost in His love. This is my story.
Hallelujah.
This is my story. 'Cause I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior.
This is my story. I testify that God is good all the time. He saw me and heard my cry. Now I am His.
This is my story. I testify that God is good all the time. He saw me and heard my cry. Now I am His. And He is mine. He is mine. This is my story. This is my story. 'Cause I'm praising my Savior all the days long. This is my story. This is my story. Praising my Savior all the days.
Now we're not done testifying in here. Hey, I'm gonna need all the saints to testify with me tonight.
Second, I want to just speak these words. The blessed assurance. You know, we've sung this song, most of us, all of our lives. The blessed assurance. You know how that assurance comes? Let's just be honest, church, okay? It doesn't come with you fulfilling what you think church should be. It's you fulfilling heart holiness. That's what the Church of the Nazarene was founded on. And that's what AFC was founded on. What is the words of the song? Well, think about it. Think about it. Watching and waiting. That's your story. Watching and waiting for Jesus to do what? Speak and move. We've sung these songs all our lives, and sometimes, church, I don't think we believe them. When we actually think about the words, His story is our story. If you think about the words of the song, it talks about the cross, and that becomes our story. And Jesus didn't do it so we could be pompous. He did it so we could be filled with His presence, with a heart that is open, lost in His blood. Imagine if our gaze was just lost in His blood. That blood represents your blood. That blood poured out and spilled out was for you. Isn't that exciting? We should come on Sundays excited, not grumpy. The song says, blessed assurance because of the blood. See, what happens is when we get lost, when we get lost in praising our Jesus, think about the song, praising my Savior all the day long. My goodness, what a song. What a testimony. What a heart. It goes on to say, He saw me, and now I am healed. And then we get back to the word see. He saw you. He saw you. So now you see Him. So now you get to see others. And there's lots of people that need to see him, and even some that are really close to you, even some that are on my prayer list that I've not met that are yours. And so, church, today, stop being the church and start being people that are filled with the presence of Jesus, with a heart that's pure, with a heart that daily says, I get it. That blood I needed. And so I'm just going to gaze into your eyes and long for what you long for and hope for what you hope for, with a heart filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, happy and blessed. Because church, whatever you're going through today, many of you are going through some hard stuff, we should still be happy and blessed. Because we just are blessed. We have a Savior that sees you, that has healed you, and that has covered you. And so let your hearts this week reflect that. Let your hearts, no matter what your circumstances are, sing the song and the same story that Jesus sings, because he's got a great desire to sing that over you. God, we thank you for this day, for your presence, for your love. And God, we thank you for this reminder. Be with us this week. And God, let us today really think about what it means every day, because I know I'm doing this and I'm doing it more. And that is every day to say, okay, Lord, where is my heart? Where's the seat? Who's on the seat? Who's holding that place? Is it you or is it the flesh? And so today, I would just pray, let it be you. We love you. Be with each person in here. Be with each Sunday school class that's about to begin. Be with the second service, God. Bless the time that is spent here today, and send us out encouraged. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy your classes. Enjoy one another. Enjoy serving him.